All right, it is so good to be here. And a pastor is not preaching today. He had a procedure on his knee, and so he needs to stay off his knee as much as possible. And so I told him I would preach, and the neat thing about how God works things out is that he's been doing the armor of God, so I didn't have much of a choice of what I was going to preach on. So I usually don't preach unless I have a message. The one thing is, he said, you can pick what armor you want. And I noticed the helmet of salvation, and I have been teaching, Debbie and I have both been when teaching the Wednesday night kids on the ABCs of salvation. And just like I said, the worship set was all about what Jesus has done for us. So you just see how God's hand is in this service already. It just amazes me. Well, I just want to go with the first main scripture of the whole thing, stand your ground, is Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. I'm going to stop right there. You know, when we first come to a Christian, a lot of times we can tell them how everything is going to be so great once you become a Christian. And sometimes people think, oh, life's going to be wonderful now. It's going to be easy. But it's not. Because we live in a fallen world where we struggle not against flesh and blood, although we sometimes think it's flesh and blood, but it's principalities and powers of darkness. And we live in that war-torn, fallen earth of sin. And because we live in that, you know, it's not easy, even after become a Christian. But God says there is a victory. That's why he's sharing these scriptures with us. Now, when I first became a Christian, I mean, on fire for God, I was in college. I became a Christian when I was 4. Asked Jesus in my heart. I knew Jesus as my Savior. But as I got older, all of a sudden, I realized I wanted more of God. There has to be more, you know, to this life with Jesus. And I got on fire for him. But I had walked in fear since I can remember. I've always been a fearful kid. I was fearful about so many things. And I'll tell you, that fear, it lasted till 30 years. I didn't get delivered of fear till 30. So just so you know, there's hope, okay, guys? You can. But you don't have to wait that long. The only thing is, when I first got on fire, I did not want to hear about spiritual warfare. I didn't want to have to battle. I didn't want to hear any of those things. I didn't want to hear about the devil. I wanted to hear about the love of God and the goodness of God and what he was going to do for me. Those are the things I wanted to hear. But to tell you the truth, these scriptures are the love of God in action. These scriptures are saying, you are going to have a battle. Now, what I didn't realize is that my battle, I was saying, I don't want to hear about spiritual warfare. So I didn't hear about the armor. So therefore, I'm battling by myself and not in the power of God and what he has provided for me. And that's why these scriptures are so amazing, is because we take hold of these, especially right when we become a Christian. Because it is the victory, not us. We didn't get the victory. Jesus is the one who got the victory for us. And he's now giving us the equipment so that we can walk in the victory, so that we can live in the victory. And so that's why these scriptures are so powerful. Okay, then, as we go on. Stand firm in verse 14 through 17. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shodded your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, which is able to extinguish every flaming arrow of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Well, Brad really wanted me to do two of them. And I'm just like, I can't do two, I'm just doing one. So it's his responsibility. So I picked the helmet of salvation. Now, when I listened to his sermons last week, I was really noted something, the belt of truth. The belt of truth holds all the armor together. It is like the foundation stone of putting on your armor. And that, what is the belt of truth? It's the Word of God. Without the Word of God, without that truth going forth, we would never get saved. And so it is foundational that we have that Word of truth tied around us and hang on to it, because that's what opens up the door for everything else. And so I just want to share how the Word of truth is something we have to hold on to. We have to read it. And what's really nice is we get to see it. We can't see God. We can see Him moving, the Holy Spirit, but we don't see God. But yet, He gave us His Word, something that we can visibly, tangibly hold on to, speak it out, read it, put it in our heart. It's something He gave us. And He knew we needed to have the tangible. Now, this is the cool part, though. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Every time I preach, I think I say this. The Word, the Bible, is different from any other book in the whole world because it's living. It is God. It's God with us, but it is God Himself, because God can't separate Himself from His Word. His character is just a part of it. He is the Word. And then it goes on to say in John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so Jesus is that Word living that we got to see. So that belt of truth is such a foundational piece for the soldiers, you know, and we are the soldiers in the army of God, all right? And so He is wanting to equip us. So I just wanted to just get that out there, because that is just so foundational. Excuse me. All right, so let's look at the helmet of salvation, all right? And when you look at a Roman soldier and you see the helmet, their helmets were absolutely beautiful. It wasn't just a piece of, you know, metal on top of their head to protect them. No, it had engravings. It had etchings. It was detailed. Then they made it look beautiful with the plume, you know, that they had, that plume that they had going. So when they walked down a street and you saw a Roman soldier, everybody kind of looked. It took notice. You took notice of it. But then what it did too is it had this pieces that came down and protected their jaw and their cheeks, and even like down in their forehead, because they needed to be protected. It was a piece of bronze that also they put sponge in it because it was heavy and that it would help hold it, the weight of it on them. And then when they were in hand-in-hand combat battle, there was like battle axes that people would use. And what the battle axe job was is to cut someone's head off. Well, when you had this helmet on, it wouldn't penetrate. The axe could not penetrate the helmet. That's how strong it was. And so it saved their head. And that's what God is wanting to do. He knows the battle starts in our head. And Paul is saying that we need to protect our head, because that's where the battles start. Because if we lose our head, uh-oh, you know what I mean? So Paul is also saying, put on the helmet of your salvation, and it should be a transforming thing that people look and say, oh, look at that person, they're different. Just like when the Roman soldiers would walk down the street, everybody noticed. They noticed. It made a difference. It made an impact. That's what our salvation is supposed to be doing to the world. It's supposed to be noticeable. It's supposed to be a piece that everybody sees. All right, so let's look at what salvation is, what the word literally means. It means delivered from danger and brought to a safe place. So that is what a lost person really needs. Because the world is a dangerous place. Because the devil is the God, little g, God, of this world. All right? But Jesus has delivered us, and He's brought us to a safe place. First, our Colossians 1:13 says, "For he delivered us," Jesus it's talking about here, "for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." God brought us to a safe place. But he didn't just bring it to a safe place, he brought us to his kingdom. And there's such a difference, because in this world, we are sin-bound. We have a sin nature, and the devil is the god of this world. I want to show just a scripture, a couple scriptures on that. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God." The devil is blinding people, and he is trying to hold them captive in sin and away from God. So 1 John 5:19 says, "We know we are of God, but the whole earth lies in the power of the evil one." We're going to go into it a little bit more, but sin has destroyed this earth, okay? But this is the neat thing, salvation through Jesus Christ. Believers no longer need to be under the rule of Satan. We don't have to bow our knee to his rule and reign any longer. We have been given a new life. We've been transferred out of this world into his kingdom. Amen. Thank you, Father. And that's what we need to understand with our salvation. And so we are going to go all the way back to Genesis. Because you need to see, you know, if you're going to have salvation, you need to see who is God, who is the devil. You need to know why would you even want salvation. So when you look at Genesis 1, or I'm going to even go before that. God, when he spoke and light came. He spoke in darkness, the earth was created, the animals and all the plants and the trees. Just with the words that he spoke. You see how powerful his words are? See how powerful the word of God is? He spoke and it came to being. All right, so we see the power of his words. And after everyone that he did, that he created, he goes, "It's good. It is good." Then, on the sixth day, he does man, but he does us differently. And he says, in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps." So we see something about God's character. He's very creative. He's very powerful. But yet, he made the earth for us to enjoy. And then he didn't have to control it. He says, "I'm going to let you control it. I'm going to give you rule over it. This is all yours." Now, what's really exciting about this is that Adam and Eve didn't have a sin nature. They were created in God's image. God's image is perfect, all right? So they didn't have that sin nature that would let them say, "I have a bad thought. I'm angry. I'm worried. I have anxiety. Oh, that scared me." They didn't even know what those things were. They had no idea. And that is why God said, "I'm going to give you one rule. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil." They had no concept of evil. No concept of evil whatsoever. And so they could live and be happy there. But then Satan, who was one of God's anointed angels, thought, "I can be better than God." And God said, "Hey, you're just my creation." And he booted him out of heaven. And he fell. And he said, nope. And one third of the angels followed him, and we call them demons. And so they went to the earth, and now they're messing with Adam and Eve, and they start talking to him. Well, I kept wondering, why were they deceived so easily? They were deceived so easily, nobody had ever lied. They didn't know what a lie was. Why would they think the devil was lying to them? That's why they were deceived. And so once they did that, all of a sudden, they had shame. They blamed each other. They had fear. They didn't want God to see them. Sin corrupted the earth just that quick when they sinned. And they also gave their authority, the rule of this earth, over to the devil. So you see why it says Satan has the power over the earth now. But Satan is not. God is a good God. He loves us. And he immediately said, I have a rescue plan. And so the effects of sin affected everything. It affected nature. It affected our relationship with God. Sin, God doesn't have sin, so it put a barrier between us and God. So we have this barrier going on. Now the devil is in charge, and he's over things. If you notice, we have bad things. What is it with the crops? The weeds. All the weeds are coming up. Never had weeds before. See, even the earth is groaning under the sin that came into this world. So, but because of God's great love, we don't have to bow to that sin any longer. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8, you will see the powerful love of God. It's not the sin nature love that we have. It is the true love, what it is. And you have to read it in the Amplified. It is amazing. So what I want to look at is the ABCs of salvation. Because all of us can see that we are sinners. I mean, if you've told a lie, if you've ever stolen anything, all these things, you know, I mean, if you've gotten mad at somebody through temper tantrum, you've sinned. So you're a sinner. All right, so we see that that separation comes then. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we have to get to that point where we admit, I have sinned. I am separated from God and I don't want to be anymore. And then it tells that there's a penalty for that sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So God didn't leave us in our sin. He loved us so much. He makes this plan that there is eternal life. We can have not eternal death and separation from him, but we can have eternal life with him. All right, so Jesus took our sins for us. And that's the next, the B. We have to believe in what Jesus, he's God's son, and that he came and he paid the penalty for our sins. John 3:16 is the greatest love verse there is. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, Jesus was perfect because he was God. He was God, but he was also man. So Mary was his mother, but the Holy Spirit is his father. So you see that he had no sin nature. He had God's nature. That's why he could love without being offended. That's why he could take any offense that came to him and he didn't take it personal. Because he had God's nature. So he goes through and he defeated Satan. He took all our sins on that cross for us. And what was so amazing is that while they beat him, while they spit on him, while they mocked him, while they laughed at him, while they shamed him, while they're nailing him in the hands onto the cross and putting him up there, he goes, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's the kind of love that God is wanting to transfer us out of this, the darkness of the devil into his kingdom of light. Amen. And so then we need to see that he has already, he didn't stay dead. See, he went to the grave for us. He was separated from God for us. But this is the exciting thing. Just because he was separated didn't mean death could hold him. He was an eternal being. And because he was eternal and he was God himself and he was perfect, he rose from the dead and defeated the devil. He defeated sin. He defeated eternal death for us. And we have that. So then, C is confess our sins to Jesus and receive him as our Lord. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, sin, he remembers it no more. We even sang about it today. I just thought that song was so powerful. Our sins are many, but his mercy is greater. But then he takes it a step farther, and he says, I don't even remember your sins. As far as the east is to the west, I've forgotten them. So we go, oh, I sinned again. I did it again. And he goes, I don't remember you ever doing that. He doesn't see us as a sinner. We have to stop seeing ourselves as a sinner. I told this story many a times, and I think Brad might have even told it in the sermon where we had this fight. He goes in the bathroom and he comes out, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm like, no, you're not. And I was like, no. And he said, this was the greatest, one of the greatest revelations I had in my walk with the Lord. He said, you're identifying your sin as who you are. He said, I know I was a sinner, but I'm not in that life anymore. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have a new life. Don't identify with your old life as who you are, because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to keep us bound in sin. He wants us to say, oh, that ugliness really is you. Oh, your temper tantrums. Oh, you're lying. That's really who you are. But it's not. God says, you're my perfect child. Have you ever had a perfect child? I guess nobody's really had a perfect child. But God, we are his perfect children, and that's what he sees us as, in the blood of Jesus. And so don't let sin hold you into bondage. Isaiah 59:2 says, your sins have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he doesn't hear you. So we see that sin will hold us in bondage. Sin is going to hinder our prayers. Sin is going to harden our hearts. Sin is going to beat us down and put us down. And sin will always distort the true image of who we really are. And that's what Satan's job whole on earth is to do, is just to do all those things, beat us down, to steal our identity, to hold us in bondage. And so we want to get rid of that sin nature. And that's what salvation is. When we open our hearts up to Jesus and we just say, I confess my sins to you. Lord, I need you. I surrender them to you. Let the blood of Jesus wash me clean. That perfect blood, it makes me perfect. It cleanses me. And then I don't have to hang on to that sin. And this is what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. We need to take that new things. And the way we do that is by putting on the helmet of salvation. But we need to know what salvation really is. We've been delivered. So it would be wonderful if we just had to do it one time and that was it. But think about it, you guys. We have lived in this world our whole lives. And it's sin all around us, all the time. It's had an effect on us. And how Satan works is he does ruts, okay? It's like he beats the same thing over and over. Oh, you're no good. You're no good. You're no good. You're no good. Oh, you're you know, this. You're in bondage to fear, 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 fear. Oh, you're just a worrier, 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 worrier. And that we accept them. And we've accepted all these things. So if we just surrender them to God one time, it doesn't change anything right away. But that's because we haven't put, you see the ruts, you know how when it gets rainy and then you do a bike in there and it's the same path over and over and over, you have the big rut? Well, we have to fill that rut up with the truth, because that rut is a lie. And so the lies have been fed into us. The lies have been fed into us. The lies have been fed into us. But now we need to take the truth and we need to fill the truth in. Fill the truth in. Fill the truth in. And I can testify to this, that when I had fear, I had it. And I was like, I don't want it anymore. I started putting scriptures about fear. You have given me your perfect love. Your perfect love casts out all fear. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but you've given me power, love, and a sound mind. Your angels are round about me to guard and protect me in all my ways, so I don't have to be afraid. And so you see all these things. Start putting the word in. I used to get paralyzed at night if Brad was gone and the house would creak. I'd hear the sounds, you know, the weird sounds, and I'd freeze. And I'd just be paralyzed until I'd just quote scripture until I could move again. That scripture broke free. What God showed me is that there was a root system of lies that had just ingrained it through my whole body. And as I put those scriptures in, it started to loosen those roots up. And it loosened them and loosened them. Until one day I said, we were in Greece, and I told Brad, I go, other people don't live like this. I don't have to live like this. And we prayed, and I got set free from fear. And it doesn't mean fear didn't try to attack me again. But then I just immediately repented of it. God, I'm sorry. I'm not taking that fear back. I'm not taking it. And I used the word. Do you see how we have to fill in the ruts of the lies of the enemy and fill it with the truth? And that's what's going to do the make the difference. So we let the Word of God wash our mind, cleanse us, fill us. And we have to hang on to our salvation because of the truth of it is we've been delivered. Our sin nature is no longer a part of who we really are anymore. Our spirit man has come alive, and he's perfect. But just like it says that you must be born again, you're this little baby, and you just got saved, and you asked Jesus, what do little babies need? They can't even control their hands or anything. You know what I mean? You have to take care of them. You have to feed them. Well, that's what you need to do as a baby Christian. You need to feed the Word of God in your heart. You need to keep putting it, because what did we say? The Word of God is living. It's powerful, and it will perform a work in anyone who believes. Jesus is the one who says he'll even do it. With fear, all I did was put the word in. I kept confessing it out my mouth, and I kept putting it in and praying it. He's the one who changed my heart. He's the one who got rid of the fear. He's the one who did the work. I just put it in. I just spoke it out. And that's what this armor is. This armor is seeing God work in your life. He says, I'll do battle for you if you just take hold of it and put it on. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's another way the Satan works. Have you ever seen those fortresses? They can keep people out, but they can also become a prison. And that's how Satan does it. He builds something in our life until the wall is so big that we really believe the lie is the truth. And that's why it's so important that we need the truth. And that we keep putting the truth in, because it's going to make those walls start to crumble, and we're going to start seeing the truth. Because how does Satan work? He blinds the eyes of people. He blinds us. Have you ever been blindsided by something? I'm sure all of us have. It's a daily choice, though. We have to make that daily choice to put on the armor of God, to put on and stand on our salvation and fill those ruts in. Satan's lies and philosophies will try to imprison you. They will try to deform your person, who you really are. They will take your value that God has placed on you and try to diminish it and put you down. But we have victory through the blood of Jesus. So I just want to do a little recap here. The effects of sin. Jesus came to defeat Satan and eternal death and separation from God. And it's his job to do it. and he did it. His work is finished. He has done it. Now he's just waiting for us to take hold of what he's already accomplished. Do you realize that sickness, he's already defeated sickness? Why are we as Christians living in so much sickness? Why are we living beaten down? Why do I see so many Christians beat up every day? Because we're not taking hold of our salvation. Could you imagine a world if we took hold of what salvation really means? That we walk in a new nature, not a sin nature anymore? I look at our media, and our media is always placing people against each other, okay? And division and causing strife and putting people down. That is a quick sign right there. It's not of God. If you find, I can only listen to the news so long because I start to get angry. And I start to get upset and want to blame people. But what did he say? Our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. My eyes are looking in the wrong place. So what do I need to do? Just like what Jesus did when he was on that cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I need to walk in the power of his love. I need to walk in who I am as who Christ sees me to be and who it says. I need to stop and say, God, you love and died for every person on this planet. You died for every Taliban person, every purse murderer, every adulterer, sex offender, whatever. He died for them. So if I don't like something, I need to be praying for them. That is God. That's salvation. He's delivered us from having to get caught up and fall into those patterns of being angry, of having hate, of being frustrated, of getting offended over every little thing. We don't have to be offended. Read 1 Corinthians, write it down, 13, 4 through 8 in the Amplified. It will blow your mind of what God really created you, how he created you to love. We need to be praying. We need to be praying for those people. You know, listen to the news so long, but then just go, you know what, God? I just thank you. You're going to move in those people's hearts. You're going to work in them. That Father God, could you imagine if all us Christians started doing that? We'd live in a different world. If we really took hold of our salvation and started living it like we're supposed to, what a difference it would make. It would make an impact on people. So, let's not let the ruts of the lies of the devil hold us back from the good things God has for us. Let's start putting in the truth of our salvation over and over, hanging on to it, tightening it to us. Because God doesn't see you as the poor old sinner that has no victory. He's come to give you the overcoming power of Jesus Christ to come alive inside of us. It's exciting. Our salvation is so exciting. All right, don't let the barrier come between you and God. We have a new life. Let's hang on to that new life in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for all that you've done for us. We don't even comprehend the greatness of what it is being delivered from danger and set into a safe place. But Lord, we want to open our hearts to it. We want to receive what you have for us and what you've done for us. Lord, we surrender to your goodness, to the love that you have for us. We ask you to fill us with the joy of our salvation. We ask you to open the eyes to the power of your salvation. Help us to walk in the truth. Help us to share that truth with others. Lord, we choose your ways. Lord, we choose your truth. Lord, we choose your life. We just ask you to let the Holy Spirit come alive inside of us to stand strong in your truth. In Jesus' name. Amen.